D. Smith, welcome in. It is the latest edition of the Unnamed Soccer Podcast. The Unnamed Soccer Podcast is brought to you by Three Punk Ales in Chula Vista, Darren. Three Punk Ales in Chula Vista. They make amazing beer. They're making a beer for us. We have an update on that beer, and we have a lot to discuss on today's podcast.
We do, and we should start with the congratulations, happy birthday, well wishes to one Jordan Carruth. It is your birthday. It's the 21st day of August, for those of you who might be watching or listening to this podcast on this Wednesday. Happy birthday, pal.
Thank you.
How old?
I'm 31, and there is no other place I would rather spend my birthday than with the Unnamed Soccer Podcast. On video!
I love it.
We're on video.
Billboarding Three Punk Ales. I like that. That's a good visual for the YouTube people. So we've got it going. We've got it going on. Happy birthday. Big plans for today other than the Unnamed Soccer Podcast.
Huge plans,
Darren. Because it's not even 9 o'clock in the morning yet as we're recording this in yet another studio at iHeartRadio.
Massive plans, Darren. I'm going to go back to my house. At my house, I have this room that is dedicated to figuring out when one of our clubs will actually win a game this season.
Yes.
So that is
not the preseason anymore, is it?
No, it is not. So I'm going to go home and I'm going to try to figure that out. When will Chelsea or Barca actually win? Now, I feel like you're getting dragged down in that conversation a tad. You've only played one match. But it is true. Neither one of our clubs have actually won anything.
Well, I will say this. It better be this weekend for Ernesto Valverde. Otherwise, who knows what happens there.
Hot seat already?
It's come into the season on the seat that's rather warm. A little bit calor in Barcelona, for sure. But happy birthday, and I'm excited now because I've seen this teased a little bit, what's happening with our title sponsor, Three Punk Ales. And I know we've talked a little bit over the summer months, Jordan, leading up to this day, that we've talked a little bit about what's going on with us and having a beer named in our honor, and I feel like we should update the peeps on that.
Correct. Darren, do you remember the name of our beer?
I do. Do you want me to spell it out, or you want me to just say, Gulsh?
I want you to say the name of it.
Is that how it goes? Gulsh!
Okay, now I want you to spell it.
G-O-O-O. A, is it just one A? A-L-S-C-H, Gulsh.
I think you got that right. I think you nailed it. G-O-O-A-L-S-C-H. That's the name of our new beer.
Gulsh. Which you can find at Three Punk Ales.
Soon. Not yet.
So what's the significance of today?
Today it is being brewed. It's being brewed this morning. It's going to be brewed again tomorrow. I'm sure they just brew, Darren. They're brewing. They're throwing in greatness. They throw in a little Unnamed Soccer Podcast love. They throw in a little Manchester United love, but only a little bit. They throw in a lot of Chelsea love, a lot of Barcelona love.
I don't feel a love there for Barca, to be honest with you, but that's okay. It's okay. We appreciate that. We all don't have to like the same things in life. We're not a bunch of snowflakes here on this podcast.
So just a little love for Barca getting thrown in there, and then you brew it all together, and then it's this San Diego beer for soccer fans, and it's beautiful.
I like it.
And it's being brewed this morning, starting this morning. It's going to get to a tank, and then 4 weeks later, we're going to be drinking Gulsh.
So like mid-September.
Yeah, like mid-September. Maybe by the time one of our clubs had won a game.
You'll be 31 years old and 1 month.
Correct.
When Gulsh comes out.
Yes.
Am I doing that right?
I think so.
I feel like I'm not. I feel like that's sort of very hacky. Gulsh.
It's a little radio announcer.
It sounds like Brockmire.
Did you ever watch that?
Never mind.
I did.
I did not.
I can have a conversation about Brockmire.
I did not. I don't have any time in my life anymore for this. I get this 3-hour show and then this other show at night, and I do a soccer podcast. I actually was driving to work the other day, and I thought to myself, I have to give something up in my life.
Mm-hmm. Who?
I'm not giving up soccer, just right. So we're clear. I'm not giving this up. I'm not giving up my job, but I don't know. My Saturdays might be a little more free starting in the fall soon. Anyway, to the soccer.
You're busy.
I'm busy, man.
Hey, I mean, if you have weekends coming up and you're a soccer fan, you need to spend that time watching your team.
That's true. And yet, as we're on YouTube yet again, speaking of watching, let me also just say this. If I'm being honest, I'm a little self-conscious that I'm going to get caught wearing the same outfit twice.
It's actually something we have to think about going into this podcast now, is our freaking wardrobe.
Yeah, but this is also a great opportunity for product placement. So anybody who's watching this on YouTube or anybody who's listening to this, if you want your product here on the Unnamed Soccer Podcast YouTube channel, I think you know how to find us. I do. I think you know how to find us. Jordan's not shy at all with a Three Punk Ale shirt and a San Diego Soccer's thermo flask.
It's full of alcohol.
Of course it is. It's
well,
your birthday.
It smells like alcohol because I'm sure at one point alcohol was in there.
It's your birthday.
Correct.
Everybody understands that front. By the way, also an announcement on the podcast. We've been telling you iHeartRadio now is a new platform where you can find the pod. We're back up and running on Apple iTunes and on Stitcher. So any of those other places where you're used to finding the podcast, we figured it out. We've solved it.
We did. We figured it out, and we are available on all those platforms.
Which means that we paid the bill.
It means they figured it out is really what it means, and we were patient throughout the process, and we appreciate the listeners' patience throughout that process as well, because they were asked to be patient the same way we were asked. So I'm glad we are up and running, and now we have another way to find us, YouTube, iHeart, all the fun stuff. Darren, we're going to talk about a lot today on the podcast. We're going to talk about VAR, because that's everyone's favorite topic. VAR. Man City, react. Tottenham, react. I saw the reaction from the local groups. I believe San Diego's Man City group's reaction was something along the lines of F VAR. And then SD Spurs' response was a song celebrating VAR. So two very different reactions over the weekend when it comes to VAR, not only in the world of soccer, but right here in San Diego. So we'll talk about that. I do want to talk about FIFA to start. FIFA is a video game that I have played for more than a decade. I grew up playing FIFA, continue to play FIFA. I am looking forward to downloading FIFA 20 when it comes out September 27th, Darren. That is when the next FIFA comes out.
Wow, I just have this image in my mind of you drinking Gulsh from Three Punk Ales playing FIFA.
Okay, that's a listener party. That's a good idea. So FIFA coming out September 27th. The players on the cover this year, Darren, want to take a guess? There are two players. One player who is playing in La Liga. The other player is playing in England.
I'm going to guess Christian Pulisic is the player playing in England. And I'm going to guess that Antoine Griezmann is the player playing in Spain.
So you're going Barca and Chelsea.
Yes.
Wrong. It's Real Madrid and Liverpool.
Okay. Eden Hazard, who's not even fit to play yet.
Is he still fat?
He's not even playing. And Liverpool, so...
Virgil van Dijk.
I could see that.
Yes.
He's a great player.
Yeah, he is an amazing player. So those are the two covers, Eden Hazard and Virgil. That's not my issue, though, Darren. That's not my issue at all. My issue going into FIFA, which I think a lot of people, if you listen to the Unnamed Soccer podcast, there is a chance that at one point you have played FIFA in your life and might be really good. And if your name is Chris Garcia, you will challenge other people to FIFA all the time, knowing that you're probably going to beat everyone. And that's not going to be a lot of fun for the other opponent. We actually even played in a FIFA challenge.
Yeah, not we, you.
Well, I represented the pod.
Yeah.
And Cesar Hernandez and I believe, like, placed second in that. DK was also in that tournament. He didn't perform as well.
Shout out.
My issue is a couple things. One is Barca, once again, has not allowed their stadium to be used in this video game.
Okay.
I don't like that. I think when you play Barca or you play as Barca, let's say you pick up FIFA's video game and you want to play, I'm assuming the club you're going to play with is Barcelona.
Okay. Well, what's the backstory here for those of us that don't know?
They sold their soul.
So, where do they play when they play home matches?
They call it something else, and they've built this stadium that resembles Camp Nou.
Okay.
So, they sold it to this other video game. And it doesn't stop there, Darren. Not only have clubs... Now, they're still a team.
Like, is this like a real controversy?
I'm getting there.
Because I feel like they're a bigger fish to fry for me.
Correct.
Personally.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
You guys are part of this story, so I'm going to include you. Juventus? Cristiano Ronaldo, not only did they not allow their stadium in the game, they sold their team away to a different company. They sold their team away to a different video game. It's called PES 2020.
So no Juve.
It's eFootball, Pro Evolution Soccer or something. It's something like that. Pro Evolution Soccer. I don't know what it is. It's essentially like the, I mean this in a good way, it's like the USL version of FIFA video game. Like it's
okay.
The Renegade version because...
Yeah, yeah.
They never had any licenses for any other players. Like, they always had to come up with fake names. Like, you had, like, a guy that looked like Ronaldo, but his name was, like, Rinaldi.
Right.
Like, that's what this video game
Same
is.
Same celebration, all that. Yeah, yeah,
so okay. We've always had, this goes back for a while with Barcelona. They haven't had their stadium, the Nou Camp, in the video game in FIFA for a long time. and they're not going to be in the video game for at least until like 2024. They're signed up with this other video game partner. But there are other teams now, teams as a whole, who will not even be included, and not just random teams. I'm not talking about like the San Jose Earthquakes here, who aren't in FIFA. Like, who cares? No one plays with the Earthquakes on FIFA. Sorry, Earthquake fans. But who, like, that is a Champions League contender.
Yeah, with, I mean, that could be a Champions League final, and Barcelona and Juventus.
Right. And you could be playing with a team. They change the name of the team. They give them jerseys that kind of look the same. It doesn't stop there, Darren. Guess where else this has started to manifest? South America, Argentina, Boca Juniors, River Plate. Both of them sold out on FIFA.
It's funny you say that. I was just watching Copa Libertadores last night and was thinking about South American soccer. So that was fresh on the mind. Okay, I'm sufficiently outraged by all of this, having just heard it for the very first time ever. And you know what I'm going to do about it, Jordan? Because I don't want to just be somebody who whines and cries and complains and comes up with a hashtag to solve all of my problems in the world. You know what I'm going to do in protest because I'm so outraged by what it is that you're saying?
You're going to buy the other video game?
I'm not going to play anymore. I'm not going to play any more FIFA.
Fine.
I've committed. I will not play any more FIFA because this is an outrage to me that I can't play Juventus and that I can't see Camp Nou during FIFA games.
I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo plays for this club, and they're not even represented in the most popular video game that a lot of soccer fans play. I think it's I think Barcelona sold out.
Mm-hmm.
I think Juve sold out. I think the pair of clubs from Argentina sold out, and I don't like it. We want one great video game.
What are you going to do about it?
Nothing.
Because I've already told you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to play.
I'm not going to buy the other game, PES 2020, whatever the hell that is.
You had to write that down?
I did. I've never played it.
The USL of FIFA. Well, it's an outrage, and it shouldn't be tolerated, and yet another dark stain on the soul of FIFA.
I agree. So let's get to the good stuff.
As if having a World Cup in Qatar wasn't bad enough. Now we have to deal with this moral turpitude.
Do you play FIFA? You've never played FIFA? I mean, if you were to play, you would play with Barcelona, right?
I don't know. I might play with LAFC.
Really? You would go with the MLS?
Have you seen their goal differential? I realize it's MLS, but it's like plus 50 or something like that.
They play Sunday at home against the Galaxy.
They play tonight against San Jose. It's rivalry week in the MLS. Didn't you know?
I did know.
Yeah, and Galaxy, plus 42 goal differential.
That is a massive number.
For 25 games.
First team to clinch as well.
Yeah.
I kind of want to make my way up there Sunday. I'm considering it's a late kickoff. I think it's 7:30 Sunday. LAFC hosting the LA Galaxy.
Could be talked into that.
Yeah, I am definitely considering. We went to Galaxy hosting LAFC for the first ever time. But
at StubHub or Dignity.
Now it's Dignity Park Health Insurance Field or something.
Wherever it is that Zlatan finds something new to complain about every week.
But the bank is actually hosting Zlatan and the LA Galaxy this weekend. Late kickoff, so I'm expecting that to be quite the energetic crowd.
By the way, LAFC I don't think has beaten the Galaxy.
They always end
in... I'm pretty sure I have that right.
They're always dramatic draws.
Yeah.
And losses just on the outside.
Right, FIFA out. Never going to be a sponsor of the Unnamed Soccer Podcast.
Out. Absolutely out. Some people want VAR out now, Darren. Some people want VAR out.
Good luck.
It's not going away.
All I've learned in sports, Jordan, is that these things never really reverse course. You can make tweaks to it. You can make some changes to it, some subtle changes, some not so subtle changes. But I will tell you, technology never throws itself into the reverse gear, ever, in any capacity. Whether that's telecommunications, whether that's the way that we are watching and consuming sports and television and programming, or whether we're talking about technology here, it never goes the opposite way. If anything else, it's only going to expand. But what you have to do is just figure out some form of common ground. None of these leagues are ever going to get rid of VAR.
No.
It's here and it's here to stay. So as much bitching as there is, and there was a lot of bitching this past weekend, understandable if you are on the losing side of some of this. I watched what happened, and I'm sure we're going to get into Manchester City and Tottenham here in a moment. I watched a lot of what was going on in Spain. There's a new rule in Spain, Jordan, where any Achilles-type Luka Modric ended up getting a straight red card for Real Madrid against Celta Vigo this past weekend because VAR ruled that he, and I don't know the exact wording, but in Spain they've instituted a new rule that if there's any sort of contact with the Achilles back of the leg, and it's deemed to have been avoidable, that player will receive a straight red card. I think it happened It happened to Luka Modric from Real Madrid. It happened twice in the Atletico Madrid match, once for each side. So, you know, listen, this is what they've asked VAR to do. They've asked them to check video and see if any of these infractions could be supported via video technology. And yes, a lot of them are. So I know we're going to dive here into City and Spurs and what happened. What I thought was a pretty fun match to watch overall, even with the controversy at the end of it. All I will say is, for as much as people are going to bitch about it, I'm sure I will, you will, at some point it will benefit our clubs. I'm sure at some point it will probably hurt our clubs, but it's not going anywhere. So, you know, we don't have to like it. We could find something else to do on Saturday and Sunday mornings, I suppose, if we're that turned off by it, if it's taking that much away from what it is that you like about the sport, which is an amazing stoppage time moment in Manchester City's case, as somebody who's totally impartial. But all I will say is we all need to realize one thing. It's never going to go anywhere. So, you know, we sort of have to keep that in mind when we begin these discussions about VAR, right?
Yeah, and I don't even think it's just a soccer conversation. It's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere in the NFL and football. Major League Baseball, when this first gets implemented, people want it taken away. Some people want it taken away. We're not getting closer to that. We're getting closer to robotic umpires. That's what we're getting closer to. Whether that happens or not, that's a different conversation. But you're right. Whatever the sport, whether you like it or whether your team is on the right or wrong side of it, you got to get used to it at the end of the day.
Yep. It's again, we don't have to like this. I mean, I thought some of those calls in La Liga over the weekend were pretty harsh, frankly. You know, I think that my argument against VAR, and if we're going to go into more detail here momentarily about City and Spurs, is not that the wrong call was made. And you've heard this all a million times. Hey, don't blame VAR, blame the rule. But, you know, I think what I think is that VAR eliminates, Jordan, some of the nuance of officiating and refereeing in sports. And what I mean by that is, would you call that, even if you saw that, if you were the referee, would you call that at the end of the City Spurs match? Or would you say, this really didn't have much to do with anything? I know by the letter of the law, this was perceived to be a handball, and it was perceived, and it was adjudicated properly by VAR, by the video assistant referee. But would somebody who understood the sport look at that and say, but it really had nothing to do with anything, did it? And, you know, it didn't misdirect the ball. It didn't change the direction. The ball didn't bounce off the arm and go into the goal. You know, like, you've heard this phrase, there's a time to call fouls and there's a time not to. You hear this a lot in basketball. That, you know, should you swallow the whistle in certain spots? And to me, that's what we're missing here is somebody, we're eliminating all judgment calls, and we're just saying clearly the rules are going to be enforced on a black and white level, and that's it. And I know that that's the fairest way to do it, because you don't want somebody saying, well, I recognize that this is a handball, but I'm not going to call it here because it's stoppage time. Whereas in the 40th minute of the match, you might call it differently. So, you know, to me, that's what we're losing here. Like, we're losing just the nuance, the judgment, whether somebody could rightfully say, listen, I know what I saw, but I also know that this is, you know, this had nothing to do. This was not part of the egregious, you know, missed call. You know, it's just not that. It's something totally different.
The impact in England specifically in that match now is that Manchester City drops a couple of points. And you told me a couple years ago, like, drop points in August, who really cares? Wake me up. I mean, we're not even looking at the table until Christmas Day normally in the Prem. But the way it's shaped up with Manchester City and Liverpool, it's a bad thought for Liverpool fans and Manchester City fans to let it creep into their mind, saying that this result, this VAR decision, it could be pretty impactful when it comes down to it, who's gonna actually win the Prem later on. So, like, it's a very impactful decision. And although it's just August, I still think this is something that's actually going to impact the league title when it comes down to it.
It could. I'd be willing to bet an awful lot of money at some point Liverpool's going to drop points as well. So from that standpoint, I think when Manchester City absolutely positively was in a position where it couldn't drop points, we saw what they did to finish out the season last year. I think it's a little early on that front, especially given some of the early season injury woes going on with Liverpool. I'd be shocked if they didn't drop points, but you're right. You know, it's sort of, you know, goals that happen in the first couple of minutes of a match are way different than goals that happen in the late waning minutes of a match or in stoppage time, right? A baseball analogy I always use is like a first run inning run is no big deal. A ninth inning run is usually a much bigger deal. But I would say also, I mean, this is just, you know, this is the frailty of the sport. Manchester City, Jordan, I mean, they killed Tottenham. I did watch. Killed them. And you can say whatever you want to say about expected goals or shots or passes or possession or any of it. The expected goals is one that you just look at and your eyes go, whoa. 3.3 for City, 0.2 for Spurs. So, you know, I thought a couple of pretty weak goals for City to allow. And it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, this doesn't matter for our friends at the Harp. What matters is how many times you put the ball in the net. And as we know, City did it twice and Spurs did it twice. That officially count and matter. But from the standpoint of should you walk away from a match feeling okay about your performance, I would say in Manchester City's case, absolutely. Is it possible that both sides walk away? City walks away feeling like it got job because of video, and Spurs walk away going, man, I don't know how we did it, but we somehow got a point out of that.
Yeah.
They killed them. They killed them in every single statistic that you could possibly find. Shots on target, expected goals, passes, possession. They killed them.
Yeah. City were the better side. And the fact that it was in Manchester, Tottenham going to be very happy with getting the point, getting a draw away. Had that been at Tottenham's new stadium, maybe the conversation is a little bit different. Maybe the expectation at that point is for Tottenham to get all three. But I do think that there is some impact with Manchester City in the title race because we're expecting those two clubs to really put up huge numbers. Right. So I think there will be a little bit of an impact. And I guarantee Liverpool fans were watching that match and celebrating that result because they know that will at least play a factor. After they had to go through 14 consecutive matches of Manchester City getting all 3 points to go on and win the league, the fact that they actually drop points, it must feel just like a drop of water that was released in this desert.
Yeah, and I give Spurs, again, I don't want to make it sound like I'm completely crapping all over them. I give them credit because they did what they had to do to get a point at City. Maybe there's something to be said. You have to wait and see the way it plays out. It's sort of silly to do this after just a couple of weeks. But maybe there is something to be said for City and their lack of concentration. Because, again, like I really thought that the goals that they allowed were mental mistakes. You know, those weren't crackers by any stretch of the imagination, right? Like, that to me, maybe if you were playing that narrative about Manchester City dealing with some level of boredom or a lack of concentration during the regular season, during the Premier League, after 100 points in 97, et cetera, maybe this would fuel that a little bit, but I also think it's way premature to suggest that that's the way it's going to play out for City all season long.
Yeah.
But you know that narrative's out there, so we'll see.
Yeah, we shall see. So that was obviously the big match in England over the weekend is Tottenham at Manchester City. This weekend, we still get some pretty good things to watch, especially in England. Liverpool-Arsenal, that's going to be Saturday. That's the 9:30 kick. Again, I'm assuming Arlo White is on the call for this one. It's the late window. It's Liverpool. It's Arsenal. It's Anfield. They're going to have to announce their VAR decisions because there is not a video board big enough at Anfield to display that. So that is what's going on this weekend in England. Liverpool, Arsenal. Liverpool, if they're going to actually feel good about what happened with City and Tottenham over the weekend, they cannot drop points this weekend against Arsenal. And on the other side, with the Gooners coming in, that is a team that I remember getting off to a very slow start last season. I believe they lost their first two, 6 points back right out of the gates, and they had to play catch up the rest of the season. This has been very different for Arsenal early on. It's just two matches. They're 6-for-6, all 6 points, and now a real opportunity. If they can get a point at Anfield this weekend, I think Arsenal feels really, really good about themselves after already feeling really good that they got all 6 to start their season. So we get the great match last weekend in England. We get another big one. It's going to be Saturday, 9:30, Liverpool and Arsenal.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
That's Saturday, you said?
I think it's Saturday. That's what I have it as. Yeah.
Good.
Saturday, 9:30.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm big on Arsenal this year, as you know.
Are you?
I am.
Why is that?
I like the way they put that together.
I think they're a champ. I think they're a top four team this year.
I do too. I would agree with you.
Yeah. We'll see what can happen with
I've seen nothing yet to get me really off my predictions.
No. Liverpool, Man City still look like their own class. Tottenham still look very, very good. Arsenal are off to a great start. They look like a top four side.
United is making me think a little bit, but then it was the opening match Chelsea and then a little bit back to earth on a weekday match against Wolves, a 1-1 draw.
Yeah.
And you still don't know what's happening with Pogba there, and Alexis is now going, so
United fans won't want to hear it from a Chelsea fan after they just beat them 4-0. I get it. But United looked really good in that match for a half. The first half, it was very competitive. Chelsea looked really good at times as well. So they looked really good for a half against Chelsea, and then United doing what they did most recently. They're on the outside still, looking in, for me. And then Chelsea, I don't know what to expect with Chelsea, but we'll see how that plays out.
Who do you got this week?
Norwich. Norwich, who
probably
Liverpool
got to get 3 points there.
I would imagine it's on the road at the Canaries. It's going to be a very. I may not need coffee Saturday morning because when you turn on that television, when you are playing at Norwich, all you see is this bright yellow, bright green, just fluorescent floodlight coming back at you into the living room. And that's what I'm going to have at 4:30 in the morning this weekend. I'm hoping 3 points. Maybe Frank Lampard will get a win. Maybe Christian Pulisic will score a Prem goal. We'll see.
Maybe.
We shall see. How about in La Liga? Anything crazy going on I need to know this weekend now that I can watch it on BN Sports, baby?
When is something not crazy going on in Spain? I already mentioned a different controversy associated with VAR. We didn't even talk about some of the stuff that they're dealing with in England. But Barca off to pretty terrible start. Now, truth be told, last time I gave you that long-winded explanation about Athletic Club, Athletic Bilbao. Difficult place to play. I probably would have signed for a draw there, truth be told, a 1-1 draw. It's just sort of hard to reckon a scoreless effort out of Barca. Now, no Messi, Suarez hurt, now Dembele hurt. There will be an incredible amount of pressure to perform this weekend as Barca returns back home to their home grounds, a stadium that you cannot see in FIFA, as Jordan just told us. They're taking on Real Betis. They apparently will get Messi back. The Neymar saga continues to infuriate everybody or intrigue everybody, depending on your viewpoint. But I thought a pretty bad way for Barca to start. Now, without a couple of the regulars, as mentioned, Busquets didn't play, Messi didn't play, Dembele ends up getting hurt, Suarez ends up getting hurt. Now this is what everybody's focused in on with Barca. Again, it's 1 week, but you know, you look at the table and you say, wow, Real Madrid's ahead of Barcelona for the first time in years, literally first time in years. But Dembele hurt, allowed to travel. So they play on Friday. They have the weekend off. Ernesto Valverde, the manager, who's in everybody's crosshairs on Barca Twitter and the home crowd, the home support. They whistle him every time. He now allows these two injured players to go on holiday, as you would say, in Europe. He allows Suarez to go to Morocco. And Dembele goes to France. And then Dembele comes back and he goes and sees the physios and they say, oh, you're out for 5 weeks. So it's sort of this, well, what the hell is going on here with this club? It's bad enough. We can deal with an away loss at a difficult place to play in front of an inspired crowd in Basque Country. But now everybody's sort of wondering, well, who's running this joint that you're allowing these injured players to go to Morocco and France? And then Dembele comes back and he had a pretty bad match and injury again on top of it. So it's you know, as defined by Barca standards, you would say early on, full-blown crisis, probably not. But a little bit of concern here for the way this thing is pointing right now heading into week number two. Yeah, but Messi comes back and scores a hat trick. Guess what? Yeah, the whole crowd would be chanting Messi, 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 and everything will be back to normal in relative sense until it's not. But the Neymar stuff is still out there. Rakitic has been linked with Spanish or Italian clubs, so maybe clearing a little bit of space. But now it's Dembele again for 5 weeks. And frankly, I'm sort of at the point now where I really wanted to see what sort of talent and upside and how high the ceiling was. And he's young, and younger players sometimes deal with these lingering injuries. I'm comfortable with them saying, let's just put an end to this. And this isn't working out. Let's get a divorce here. They did that with Coutinho, got him off to Bayern Munich. That move made official. Coutinho said, hey, Barca's part of the past. I'm focused on the future here at Bayern. Remember, that was a loan. They still seem to be hyper-focused on somehow ending up with Neymar, getting him out of Paris, and what that would mean in exchange, who knows. But just not a lot of positive vibes so far early on. And I will say, again, they'll probably beat Betis pretty badly. But if they don't, man, that and if it becomes the phrase in Spain is Messi dependencia, Messi over dependence on Messi. Well, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, this is the season where you're not only supposed to win the league, Darren, you're also supposed to win Champions League.
No, that's so. Every year.
It should be a fun ride, once again, for
Barca
fans.
There are Barca fans who legitimately feel like every season that you don't win a treble is a lost season.
Yeah, that is just a ridiculous. Different mindset.
But when you do stumble the way they stumbled in Champions League, and then you compound that and you stumble in the Copa del Rey final, and then you know you get off to the kind of start that they've gotten off to, again, not just dropping three away, but you know, three not picking up a result away, but now injuries. Yeah, you sort of start saying, well, what the hell's going on here with this club?
Yeah, give us something good to discuss.
I thought Atletico Madrid looked very good. You probably saw the highlight from the player that I mentioned last week was João Felix.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Morata missed the penalty kick, your boy.
First time he's ever missed a PK with Atletico.
They grind out a 1-0 win at home, so you know I think that they will be significant and legitimate title contenders. Madrid got off to a very, very good start. Gareth Bale, who was cast aside for dead not a month ago by his own manager, who said, like, it's better if he leaves, actually played really, really well, like man-of-the-match type status for Real Madrid. So we'll see where that goes as well. But there's always something interesting to talk about because, you know, it's not just soccer, Jordan. It's La Liga.
It is La Liga. It's different.
You'll get used to that commercial. You might not get it now, but you'll get it the more you watch BN Sports.
On BN, they have some funny commercials.
Yeah, that's one
that's
word.
That's one of them?
That's one word.
I'm told that the local San Diego Barcelona group is no longer at the Owl Drug Company.
That is correct.
I have been informed on Twitter from Peña Blaugrana San Diego that they are now at Serrano's. Serrano's on 6th and E Street. Everyone is at welcome. They can come have a pint with the Peña Blaugrana San Diego. So if you're a Barca fan here in San Diego, you can watch with other Barca fans at Serrano's on 6th and E Street.
I will see you on Sunday, hermanos.
Yeah,
what
time?
I can't wait. I'm going to wear my shirt, the shirt that I bought in Barcelona. I'm going to wear that. Going to debut it first time on Sunday.
And here is your advantage of being a La Liga fan. You get to go out and have a nice lunch and watch Barcelona
noon.
And a 12 o'clock kickoff where my club plays that day before at 4:30 in the morning.
What do you want me to tell you? Now, think of the flip side of this. If you were living in Spain, you'd have to stay up till 9, 10 o'clock at night to watch them.
Yeah, I mean, I would be staying up till 9, 10 o'clock
at night. So there is a flip side of the coin, right? That's just a different culture.
Yeah,
in Spain,
let's move to Spain.
Twist my arm, pal. Trust me, this is an ongoing conversation that I've had many, many times.
Darren, we talked about beer. We talked about FIFA. We talked about VAR. Mm-hmm. We talked about La Liga. We did not talk about Wayne Rooney, but we'll get to that.
Do you just want me to read the tweet from Wayne Rooney?
Yeah, actually, I do.
So
if you have it available to you.
Remember, Wednesday, this being a Wednesday recording, they are playing later on tonight against the New York Red Bulls or the New Jersey Red Bulls. I'm not sure exactly what they're called. But bad result for DC United. And Wayne Rooney, none other than Wayne Rooney, who's on his way at some point, I think in December, to Derby County to go be player manager. Gutted about result last night. We deserve more. Looking forward to a 12-hour travel day, which could be done in 6. But hey, this is MLS. We'll get ready for Red Bulls Wednesday. Hashtag charter flights. Hashtag MSL. Not MLS. MSL. Maybe a typo. I'm not 100% sure. This was retweeted over 1,000 times. This was liked over 8,000 times. And a lot of commentary here. I will say, I probably knew that MLS still flew commercial, but it still is a little jarring in 2019 that a professional sports league is still flying commercial. I know, boo-hoo for athletes and boo-hoo for Wayne Rooney, but this is pretty unique to this sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in other sports, I know Barca takes trains places. That's a smaller country. I know in England, they will take trains places that is perceived as mass transit, unless those are charter trains, which I don't know. But it still is a little bizarre in a country this size that this league has yet to figure out any sort of corporate deal with a charter flight company.
Yeah, I feel like the most common reaction for players who come to the United States after playing a majority of their career in Europe, the most talked about issue they have with Major League Soccer isn't about the talent, isn't about the clubs, isn't about the atmosphere, it's not about the fans, it's not about any of that, it's about the travel, and it's about playing in Houston in the middle of July where it's 1,000 degrees. That's usually the biggest knock on Major League Soccer from other players. It's obviously a step below when it comes to talent, but the travel, the stuff that the fans don't go through, like the players have to, it is very different. But that is definitely the most common thing, and Wayne Rooney is not alone in that opinion.
No, but, you know, he's not alone in that opinion, but if some lesser player says that sort of stuff on Twitter, nobody really cares, right? It doesn't get retweeted 1,000 times or liked 8,000 times. When Wayne Rooney says it, we'll see if it carries any weight. My suspicion is it probably does not. But if you want to try to get these players, you know, and then that also is, and I thought that Zlatan was whining a little bit about the playoff structure, about, hey, well, anybody can get in, sort of ignoring the fact that, well, you didn't get in last year. But, you know, he was whining about the playoff structure. I mean, I understand it's not what it is in Europe, but that's also not exclusive to MLS. They play playoffs just south of the border in a league that we talk about a lot, in Liga MX. So, you know, playoffs by themselves aren't altogether all that bad. But, you know, there does seem to be some whining from some of the more significant players in this league. And you know, I'm sorry. I mean, that's a tweet that's designed not just to vent, but to embarrass. And I think it probably hit the target.
Yeah, it embarrasses Major League Soccer.
I don't see any other way. But, you know, then they'll just say, hey, everybody, St. Louis. You know, St. Louis gets an MLS club. And, of course, poor Miami with their arsenic and toxic soil. We'll see the way that works out.
Yeah, a little bit of a parting shot for Rooney before he takes off from Major League Soccer. But he has had a good run in the league, I guess.
Very good run.
He has been impactful and fun, and now he's trying to make an impact on the way out, maybe changing flights for future generations of MSL.
Hashtag MSL. Hashtag charter flights. Yeah, and I'm sure all of his teammates said thank you. I mean, your word do carry weight here.
Right.
More so than somebody else who might be on that same squad.
Correct. All right, Darren, you can find the pod. We are on Apple Podcasts. We are on iHeart. We are on Spotify, YouTube. We're on Instagram. Follow along on Instagram. And please subscribe on YouTube. We're making a bigger effort there. So we do thank you for those who have been able to subscribe, left a comment. We'll keep you updated on Gulch. Gulch comes out pretty soon. And we'll keep you updated on the brewing process.
And happy birthday, Jordan Carruth. Everybody tag him on Twitter, @JordanCarruth. Say happy birthday to him.
Peace.